Well, right now we're going to be talking about something that has a prophetic significance as well, the Feast of Tabernacles. And we're going to be talking about this feast, the seventh of the seven Jewish feasts, the last one in the fall, because of the fact that we want a Christian perspective to this. It does have a prophetic significance. We're going to talk with Steve Herzig, who is the National Director of Friends of Israel, a former Orthodox Jew coming to know Christ as his Messiah, Lord and Savior, and is available for Jewish people and congregations around the world to have him come and speak, but also Christian organizations, churches, etc., that would be available to have Steve come. It would be a blessing to you if you had him. He has a couple of books entitled The Culture and Customs of the Jewish World, and volume number 2 of that as well. So it's a good read, and it would be important for you to understand these things. We'll talk to Steve about how we can use this information to talk to our Jewish friends about the Lord Jesus Christ. Steve, it is indeed Feast of Tabernacles. Talk to me about how that fits into the Jewish lifestyle and the significance of it as it relates to Christians as well.
Well, thanks, Jimmy, for allowing me to come. And last time we talked, it was Yom Kippur. And, you know, Jewish people, particularly in Israel, as soon as Yom Kippur ends, they are already going to start building their booth. And Sukkot is booth, tabernacles, and Jewish people around the world will be building that booth. And there's even a building code for it. It has to be 4 feet long, 4 feet wide, not higher than 30 feet, has to have at least 3 sides, has to have the roof have space so you can see the stars. It is a Thanksgiving holiday, wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. In fact, it's called the Feast of Ingathering as well. And so building the tabernacle is, number one, really important. And number two, having what's called a lulav and an etrog. A lulav is that palm branch, myrtle branch, and willow branch all wound up together. The etrog is a citrus fruit. And because it's Thanksgiving, they have these live foliage, if you will, that to be able to thank God for what he has done. And they actually hold the lulav and the etrog together and shake it north, east, south, and west so that they're able to thank God for what he has done for them, for his provision. Deuteronomy 16 tells us that that is one of the feasts, one of the three feasts that they needed to be in Jerusalem for, biblically. And so the Feast of Tabernacles is just a wonderful Thanksgiving time of year.
Well, it is indeed a wonderful time of the year. Also, it is the time of the fall harvest when you think about the grapes, the dates, and the olives being harvested. So this is a part of this joyous time as well. But it has a great historic significance, does it not? Were the sukkahs not what was able to sustain the Israelites as they wandered for those 40 years in the wilderness?
Oh, absolutely. It is. That's one of the reasons Jewish people are so thankful. It was God's bread, the manna, that sustained them during the time, brought them into the promised land, a land of milk and honey. And you know, Jimmy, one of the things that is not practiced today is one of the most significant things, I believe, for us as believers and for Jewish people to know. There was an ordinance that they used to have called the water libation. It was a huge deal in the first century where they had 3 giant menorahs. They lit it up, and the priests went to the Pool of Siloam and gathered water each of the days of Tabernacles, which is 7 days. And they lit those candles, and the Pool of Siloam is so significant in terms of biblically as what the Jewish people thought about it. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 12, it says, "Therefore, with joy you will draw out of the wells of salvation." There was a messianic hope connected to tabernacles, and in fact, Zechariah talks about 10 Gentiles will grab the skirt of a Jewish person and want to worship in Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles. It's such a tremendous ceremony, and Jesus, in John chapter 7 and in verse 37, the text says, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, it says that Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If any man thirst,'" that had to do with the Pool of Siloam, Jimmy, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. That coincided with the messianic expectancy of the tabernacles, and Jesus was saying, I'm here. The Messiah is here.
Wow. Wow. That would be great as you bring this to the attention of your Jewish friends and do it in a kind way, always with love, which you always exhort us to do. But this would be a great, great opportunity of introducing the Messiah as it relates to that water libation. Also, you mentioned Zechariah. Chapter 14 seems to indicate that in the kingdom to come, which is also what Tabernacles is focusing on, the kingdom to come, in that kingdom, there is going to be, once a year, the responsibility of all people on the earth, not only Jews, to go up to Jerusalem for this Feast of Tabernacles.
You're absolutely right, Jimmy. The millennial kingdom is, to me, so important in Christian theology that we understand that God made certain promises to the Jewish people as he cut out twin remnants. You know, there's promises to Israel, and then there's his promises to the church, and he's going to accomplish them. And the kingdom, we've never had a kingdom here. I know there's some Christians who believe we're in the kingdom. That would be hard for me to believe as either a Jewish person or a believer in Christ. It's just not true. That's the millennial kingdom is outlined by the prophets as a wonderful time of production and long life and health, and certainly worshiping the king who will be seated on the throne of David, the Messiah from the tribe of Judah. That will be a time when Jewish people, Christian people, as the bride of Christ, they will actually, and Gentiles, by the way, all of them in this millennial kingdom, it's going to be a marvelous time.
Wow. Wow. Well, when you think about Feast of Tabernacles and what Steve just told us, it has to get you excited. That kingdom is coming. And by the way, I'll be speaking about that kingdom to come when I take a look at the book just a moment from now, right here on Prophecy Today. Steve, once again, I pitch it to you and you hit the ball out of the ballpark. Thank you so very much for giving us this insight as it relates to the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles.
Hey, thank you, Jimmy.